What a terrific turnout. The best thing about being here for 3 months and sitting down with, well, many of you, I'm trying to hear if there's somebody on the phone, about having sat down individually with many or most of you is happy, smiling, friendly, known faces in the audience, which is the first time I can truly say that in a while. So thank you so much for being here. We have an echo. We've been working toward this night really for about 6 months, many of us, including me. And before I forget, let me thank Julie McDonald for all of the setups and having at least some sustenance for you all. And for the technology folks who are making a room that was not originally outfitted with technology work for this purpose. We're going to continue to tweak this as we go. But I'll explain a little bit about what's going on. And for those of you who are on the telephone, you can imagine in your head what this looks like. We have about 10 round tables. Each table has a microphone on it. But that microphone is not for picking up or amplifying your voice. That microphone actually is capturing our conversation this evening for posterity and eventually to be posted on the web. As we said from the beginning, we're going to make this, Helen Sterkis, really terrified that she's going to be posted on the web. We're going to make this as transparent as we possibly can be, and that means capturing our conversations, putting them up for people to see and watch, and really engaging the entirety of the WK community as we go. So we're recording with the microphones on the table. As we introduce ourselves, that's the warning, and go around the room, we have actually passable mics somewhere. Tamla has at least one of them, and Julia has the other one. So first, though, let me say thank you. Thank you for your willingness to be part of this. Some of you, I said, it's going to be an adventure, and it will be. For those of you who've agreed to serve as co-chairs, let me say thank you. The way we'll do introductions is I'll introduce the co-chairs, and the co-chairs can introduce themselves and then go around the table. What I want for you to leave with tonight is an understanding, at least from my perspective, how I think this is going to go. The great thing about strategic planning is it's not up to me, it's up to us. And we're going to go potentially down some rabbit holes and emerge smarter, but having closed off those holes. I hope we have, as a community, interesting conversations. But during the next 9 months, what we will decide together is what are our shared aspirations for Western Kentucky University, and then build a roadmap for how we get there. I've said over and over and over again, as people have asked me what my vision is for the institution, that is much less important than what our shared vision is for the institution and where we're headed. And that's what all of you are going to do along with all of your colleagues. We're going to build this together. Now, we're going to build some portion of the airplane while we're flying it, and I know that makes folks crazy, but we can't just spend a year doing strategic planning. We also have to do a bit of strategic doing, and so we'll talk about that. The most important part of this evening is probably reducing uncertainty in your minds, at the same time with the understanding that there will always be uncertainty in this process. That's part of what makes it interesting. So with that, let me first introduce the two co-chairs of the entire process and our steering committee. I thought there would be one, but they were so good I had to pick them both. Paula Potter, who is co-chairing the steering committee, who is chair of management in the Gordon Ford College of Business, and Bruce Schulte, who's co-chairing the steering committee, who is department head of biology in Ogden. So if you all will stand and wave or do whatever it is, these are my partners in not crime. Really, we'll be doing much of the guiding and heavy lifting, and will be not just my good counsel, but the good counsel of all of us. And so, Paul and Bruce, thank you for saying yes. Thanks to all of you for saying yes. But also thank you for being willing to do this with me. I really appreciate it. And with that, I'll let you all, with the roving mics, pass it around and talk about who's at your table. Just so everyone knows who everyone else is.
I don't know that the person next to me needs introduction, so I'll let her do it herself.
Thanks, Bruce. I'll stand so you can see me. I'm Cheryl Stevens. I'm Dean of the College of Science and Engineering.
I'm Philip Bale. I'm on the Board of Regents. And on behalf of the board, let me extend our heartfelt thanks for everyone in the room that's participating in this. We understand what an important time this is in education and what a time for strategy. We need it, and we're looking for great things to come out of this group. So thank each and every one of you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Andy Dahmer, and I'm the student body president and student regent for this year.
Hello, I'm Ann Mead. I'm senior vice president for finance and administration.
Hello, I'm Eric Reed. I'm from the history department. Nice to see you.
That's the totality so far of the steering committee. Now let me go on to academic innovation and excellence and thank Rob Hale, who's co-chairing, and the department head of English. Rob, would you wave for everybody? Yay. And Harold Little, who is co-chairing, and he's chair of accounting in the College of Business. And so with that, I will let the rest of the Academic Innovation Excellence Committee introduce itself.
I'm Sally Ray, Regional Chancellor, WKU Glasgow Campus.
Marco Dumacic in History.
Hi, Tamela Smith, Staff Regent.
Greg Arbuckle, Associate Dean, Ogden College of Science and Engineering.
Alicia Pennington, Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning.
John Ridley, Bowling Green, WKU Region.
Jin Zhao from Psychology.
Beth Lavis, I'm the Associate Vice President for Extended Learning and Outreach.
Fred Gibson, School of KRS.
Very good. Is there anybody on the phone who's part of the Academic Innovation and Excellence Committee? Seeing none, we'll move on to student success and experience. Let me thank both Jerry today and Martha Sales. Jerry is the Executive Director and Associate Professor, Center for Teaching, and Martha is Director of, it says Talent Search here. What the heck does that mean?
Too much. Can't put y'all down here. It's actually TRIO and Intercultural Student Engagement Center.
I knew that was wrong, so good. Unless you got a new job I didn't know about, which also might be possible. And would the rest of the working group introduce itself, please?
Hi, I'm Dawn Hall. I'm the director of School University Studies at South Campus.
Leslie, can you get your mouth?
Chris Jensen, director of the Academic Advising and Retention Center.
Aaron Huey, counseling and student affairs.
Lauren Bland, Communication Sciences and Disorders.
Hi, my name is Connor Heltrell. I'm a student here and I'm involved with the Student Government Association. I'm the Chief of Staff, and I'm studying Biology and Political Science.
I'm Jace Lux. I'm the Director of Recruitment and Admissions.
I'm Bryson Davis. I'm the Assistant Director of the Department of Student Financial Assistance.
I'm Sharon Metter. I'm in Psychological Sciences.
And I'm Brian Kuster. I'm the Vice President for Student Affairs.
Is there anyone on the telephone who's a member of Student Success and Experience Working Group?
Yes, me, Julian.
Hi, Julie.
Hello, Dr. Caboni, how are you?
I'm doing very well. We're glad you're on the phone.
I am, and you're going to laugh. So one ear's listening to you all, and the other ear's at our WKU Greater Louisville Alumni Chapter meeting. So I'm doing dual responsibilities right now. So I'm listening to both meetings.
Well, thank you for being on the line, and we look forward to seeing you later this week.
That's right. I'll see you on Thursday.
All right, Kelly Madol and Dave Tatman. Kelly's the coach. They are co-chairs of the Research, Scholarship, and Creative Endeavors Group. I skipped, but we're just going to keep going with it. Kelly is the chair of Psychological Sciences. And Dave Tatman works for us in Corporate Development and Engagement, leading that side of the house. So, Kelly.
Yes, and Dave couldn't be here today. He's on vacation. Lucky guy. As he said, I'm the chair of the Department of Psychological Sciences, and I'll let everybody else introduce themselves.
Ron Bunch, Bowling Green Chamber.
Jeff Hook, Director of Center for Research and Development.
I'm Carol Lowry. I'm the Administrative Vice President of SGA, and I study biology and political science.
Barbara Birch, Faculty Regent.
Michael Smith, Department of Biology.
B.J. Gola, Associate Dean, College of Health and Human Services.
Jean-Luc Houl, Folk Studies in Anthropology.
I'm Jenny Rutherford from Psychology, and I'm also the Assistant to the Dean of Research for CEBS.
I'm Neil Chumbler, Dean of the College of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Davis, Associate Provost for Research and Creative Activity.
I think that's the entire committee who's here.
I will do a bit of explanation. This committee is going to have two subcommittees, one of which is focused on the more traditional scholarship and creative work that faculty do and sponsored research. The other will be a little more community and corporate focused, and that side of the house likely will grow over time. So right now we've got two folks, with Dave not being here, representing that portion of the conversation, but working group will grow over time. Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Working Group co-chairs, Lynn Holland and Molly Kirby. Lynn is the Assistant VP and Chief Diversity Officer for WKU, and Molly is an Associate Professor of Diversity and Community Studies for us. And with that, if they'll wave, I was bad and didn't ask if there was anyone on the phone from Research, Scholarship, and Creative Endeavors. Is there anyone on the phone from Research, Scholarship, and Creative Endeavors? Very good. Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Working Group, would you all introduce yourselves?
Tony Glisson, Director of Human Resources.
David Porter, Board of Regents.
Hi, David. Thank you for being on the phone. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm Francisco Serrano. I'm a student here. I study criminology, and my minor is legal studies and citizenship and social justice.
Hi, I'm Fabian Alvarez, instructor in the English department.
Bruce Kessler, the Department of Mathematics.
Ka Pong from Modern Languages.
Hi, I'm Chingy Lin. I'm in the music department, and I do all things violin.
Outstanding. And I cut somebody else off on the phone.
Yeah, George Nichols from the Regents.
George Nichols, thank you for being here on the phone. Are you in D.C. or some other fabulous location?
I'm in Orlando, Florida.
Even better. So thank you.
Realize why I shouldn't be in Orlando, Florida.
And our last but certainly not least working group, Budgeting Efficiency and Infrastructure. Suzanne DeVries, co-chair with Christian Ryan. Suzanne is dean, our newly arrived dean, newishly arrived dean of university libraries, and Christian is our coordinator of sustainability at the university. So if you all will wave and have your folks introduce themselves.
Good evening. I'm Todd Stewart, Director of Athletics.
I am Brianna Harris. I'm a graduate student in the Student Affairs and Higher Education program.
Brian Russell,
Chief Facilities Officer for Western.
Jason McKinney, Board of Regents.
Helen Stirk, Department of Communication.
Carrie Akins, Department of Human Resources, Assistant Director of Total Compensation. Blair Jensen, Assistant Director, Housing and Residence Life.
Brad Wheeler, Assistant Vice President of Business Services.
Jennifer Tugas, Parking and Transportation.
And there's one person on the line. Do we have everybody on the line for budgeting, efficiency, and infrastructure?
Gil Johnson, member of the Board of Regents.
Gil, thank you for being on the line, and thanks to everybody who's participating. There's one person who's not yet who introduced herself, who will be participating in this process, and saved her for last. Tuesday, if you will introduce yourself, and I will explain. Tuesday's not even quite sure what she's doing yet, because I... But she's really smart and great with data.
Tuesday, I'll be Director of Institutional Research. I love data.
And Special Assistant.
I'm Special Assistant to the President for Strategic Planning.
And
you tell me what that is.
We're going to discover together what that means for Tuesday and for me. In all seriousness, during the transition process, oh, and by the way, for those of you who served on the transition team, that you see there is a method to what appeared at that time perhaps to be a bit of madness. The folks who helped guide me through that transition really helped shape my understanding of the university, but also in particular Tuesday, but the rest of them, we looked at data in a way that perhaps we have not been doing in a while, and we shared data certainly at the Regents Retreat in a way that is intentionally forthcoming, and we're going to continue to do that. There is one last working group that doesn't appear on this list, and I'm not sure I like this term, but it's more of an enabling or an enabler work group, in many ways as the budgeting working group is. But it's really going to be focused on philanthropy and external relations. We've not yet named the members of that committee or the co-chairs. That it will happen in due course, but I'm guessing there may be one member of the Board of Regents who is calling in, who's part of that group and is going to be representing all of them tonight. Freddie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Freddie Higdon, Regent.
Thank you for being on the phone. And Freddie, we will eventually wrap a committee around you so you feel more fulsome and supported. No comment on that, Freddie. Okay.
Devil's in the detail.
It is indeed. So here's my thank you all. And so here we go. What I want to walk through tonight is how I envision this unfolding during the next 8 or 9 months. And then I will give you, each of the working groups, the formal charge. We can ask a bunch of general questions of me, because this is still in some ways in my head. Bruce asked me the other night, have you ever done this before? And the answer to that is yes, in lots of different ways. At Loyola, as a very junior administrator, I saw strategic planning from the lens of a young fundraiser, but also as a member of staff council and benefits. And so I bring that perspective to it. At Vanderbilt, it was really as assistant to the chair of a department for special initiatives, which means everything a department chair doesn't want to do. And one of those things, a lot of the time, is either accreditation or strategic planning. So I got to see that from the perspective of a department chair and then eventually as an associate dean. And then at Kansas, was very much responsible for articulating for the institution what the outcome of a university-wide planning process was, essentially taking what it is we're going to create together and turning that into a document that no harm meant to my faculty colleagues, I'm one of you, but into something that might be a little bit more compelling than what faculty members would write on their own. Meaning, this document has to sizzle, not just for us internally, but also for folks eventually who are going to turn this into fundraising priorities for the university and communicate with all of our external stakeholders what it means. So in the process of doing this toward the end, public affairs will engage and translate for us for some other audiences. The last part of what I've done, and I actually forgot this, we were having dinner the other night, I taught a course at Vanderbilt for about a decade, and the course was titled Strategic Marketing and Planning. And so at least I know how it works on paper and the different models, and we'll see how it turns out. It's going to be great, and it's going to be, if not fun, which I stopped saying about a month ago, it will at least be memorable, I hope. And my clicker, Julia, turn it on. Aha! On. Next. So this is our mission statement, and it's long. Western Kentucky University, WKU, prepares students of all backgrounds to be productive, engaged, and socially responsible citizen leaders of a global society. The university provides research, service, and lifelong learning opportunities for its students, faculty, and other constituents. WKU enriches the quality of life for those within its reach. And I don't think we need to do anything to change that mission statement, because that requires about a 10-month process. But those of you who know me know that I'm pretty good at playing around the edges. And so what I describe as our mission is not necessarily our mission statement. But our mission as a student-centered applied research university, and we still haven't gotten that dang hyphen in there, student-centered applied research university, is to better our region, the Commonwealth, our nation, and the world by inspiring innovation, elevating communities, and transforming lives. You will hear the rhetoric and the narrative that we began creating together with the transition team 6 months ago and when I made my first visit to campus. This is important. Because this is where strategic planning begins. And you all will have all these slides will be posted with that one edit to the website, and we'll share and we'll share this with you electronically in addition to on paper. So this is where bottom up meets top down. And most of the work that I'm going to do in this process, in addition to the shaping, the questioning. Those of you who've been around me long enough know that getting me to give a direct answer about things that you want direct answers to it can be difficult at times. And Tony, I was visiting with the folks in the Benefits Committee, Tony, I'm going to call you out, said, you know, given all of your experience, do you have any places where we might look for how we save costs? And being the good professor that I am, I said, Tony, given all of your experience, do you have any ideas for where we might look at to find ways to reduce costs? Ann and I have had a couple of conversations like this, as have Brian and I, and it is an important part of how I lead. My job is not to tell you what the planning process is going to be. My job is to challenge you to do this with me. But this is the kind of most you're going to get in terms of shaping. So, what are our goals? We want to simply improve student learning, engage every one of our stakeholder groups in meaningful conversations, and you've heard this over and over again, articulate persuasively our shared aspirations for WKU, create a practical and 10-year revisitable roadmap for our future. I want us to use data Tuesday for informing our strategic choices. We have to do this in the context of performance funding. We know the Commonwealth has moved there, and so any decisions that we make have to take that into account, I think. And lastly, we have to revise our budget model to ensure resources are deployed in support of our institutional priorities. If I'm not anything, it's consistent. You heard this at the convocation. The Regents heard it this summer. You're hearing it now. I've charged and changed the Budget Council and the work that they're doing. And we'll talk a little bit tonight, I'm sure, about how those two things overlap. But this is where we're headed. And this is what I hope we wind up with at the end of our process. At the outset, I thought it was going to be two co-chairs, one of whom would be me. Now it's going to be two co-chairs plus a president, and one steering committee with 7 to 10 members, 4 to 6 working groups with 2 co-chairs and 8 to 10 members each. And I mean that when I say I want us to engage every stakeholder group. And so here are the working groups that you are all members of. And I'm going to go back. So you have your charge in front of you, but it's... No! You're going to have your charge in front of you. As Julia is handing this out, I want to talk about, beyond this being a roadmap, what this is. I want us together to create a plan for WKU that carves out a place for us nationally and allows us to claim our role. And our role as a leader among public institutions in the United States. This is a tremendous opportunity. I want us together to seize the moment, to be aggressive, creative, and bold. Let me say that again. I want you to be aggressive, creative, bold. This is not something I want to, we have to push the envelope. And when I go through the working groups, I'll give you an idea of kind of where my head is and what I'm going to nudge or push or cajole you to do. I want us to leverage all the possibilities available to us as a student-centered applied research university. So thank you in advance for your service and your contributions to the process. As you consider the charge below and your service as a member of the steering committee or working group, this is what I need from you. I need your commitment tonight, and this is hard to do, and throughout this process, to put to the side your departmental, your academic unit, and your role affiliations. When we do this work, you're not a faculty member, a staff member, you're not a member of the College of Business or Potter, you're not an administrator, a faculty, a staff member, or a graduate student or an undergraduate student, you're just a representative of WKU. I need you to know and to embrace your purpose, which is to craft goals and strategies to enhance the entire institution, to elevate its trajectory, and to ensure an even brighter future for our institution. So here's your charge, if you so accept it. After collecting data, assessing our strengths, challenges, opportunities, and weaknesses, and detailing emerging themes, each working group will create an overarching goal statement for their area of focus. Additionally, underlying strategies should be created to support the pursuit of that larger goal. The optimal number of strategies will vary by group, obviously, but a reasonable target number is 5 to 7, and I'll show this to you graphically in just a little bit. For each one of those strategies, the hope is you'll create action steps and outcome metrics we'll use to measure our progress over time and our success. In January, so there's the timeline, each working group will hold open forums to share their draft goal, their strategies, and their action items. That will be an opportunity to collect feedback from the community, those who attend, and use that to compile draft recommendations to the steering committee. And the steering committee takes a big gulp. Additionally, we're going to post those white papers. Julia said to me, "Kaboni, you are so professorial, you're even assigning homework." And at least it's a 10-page paper. Don't ask me single space or double space. These will be posted on the strategic planning website to provide members of the university community an opportunity to comment on and refine the working group draft goal and strategies. So in February, and I intentionally was flexible on this, but early to mid, each working group will provide to the steering committee a white paper of approximately 10 pages in length, describing their group's suggested goals, strategies, and action items. Additionally, each group will create a goal map, which I will show you what that is, capturing the strategies and action items on a single page. The reductionism is tough to do, but essential, because it allows us to show simply, visually, and hopefully using compelling language what the heck we're going to do for the next 5 to 10 years. The steering committee will then take these white papers and distill them into a draft strategic plan document. So once we do that, we'll share that back out with the rest of the community in the late spring, with the entire community for additional feedback and comment. We'll revise one more time, and we get to this at the end, essentially presenting this to the Board of Regents in August so that we can get going aggressively from August 2018 to August 2028. During this process, as we assemble these white papers, draft goals, actions, action items, and strategies, we're going to hold a monthly check-in. And the next two will be November 9th and December 6th. And what I'm going to ask you to do is come back and share out. There are about six or seven, so we're talking about 15 or so minutes for you to share out the work that you've done and solicit feedback from this group and use that to shape the working group work ahead. So here are some guiding questions that I would like for all of us to consider as we go through this process. What institutional changes will position WKU as a national leader in our areas of intellectual strength, both in instruction and inquiry? How might we arrange ourselves differently to pursue exciting cross-disciplinary collaborations that are attractive to students, industry, and ourselves? What budget model will allow us to be more nimble, reward performance, and allocate resources to new priorities while focusing on student attraction, retention, and graduation? How do we ensure every student we admit has a reasonable chance to graduate in 4 years? And how do we support them financially and academically to help enable their success? Here's the hard one. It's really easy to come up with new things that we should do. It's a challenge to ask what good things we're doing now that we're going to stop doing. We don't have endless resources. You understand the budgetary context in which we're working, both internally and across the Commonwealth. And so, are there good things that we're doing now that are no longer core to our mission, or that have outlived their usefulness, or, and I will add this, have not produced their intended results? So we have an aggressive, achievable timeline we're going to use to build our plan. We'll present it to the Board of Regents for approval at summer, launch our new strategic plan next fall. Thank you for helping to shape the future of WKU. So I'll walk through a little bit more detail. We've gone through some of this. We're already to October, December 2017, thinking about assessment of strength, challenges, opportunities, weaknesses, emerging themes, and drafting of preliminary reports, open forums and feedback, revisions and incorporation of feedback, draft recommendations, steering committee distilling, entire draft plan to the WKU community for feedback, over the summer revising, presenting to the regents, approved, and then launch. I want to go back to the working groups just for a second. So academic innovation and excellence, and these are not ideas for you to pursue, although you might, I hope you consider them because they're interesting. For academic innovation and excellence, how has instruction changed? What does competency-based education mean? How is our marketplace different than what it was 20 years ago? How are we embracing that change and using it to move ourselves forward? What does online education do? What does hybrid learning do? What does credentialing mean? How do you stack them? Okay, that's plenty. All that plus everything else you can come up with. And these are really just kind of from the top of my head. Student success and experience. What are we doing to support our students? I don't want to talk about replacing buildings. I want to talk about how do we create living learning communities down at the bottom of the hill. What is student engagement, social engagement, and academic engagement mean for an applied research university, but also for an institution that has 41% of its graduates as first-generation students? How do we make sure the 150 hours that are spent outside of the classroom are as engaging and as important as the 15 to 18 spent inside the classroom? How do faculty engage in the student life experience in a way that's educational and compelling and motivating? What about our living learning communities? How do we get smaller faster? enough. Diversity, equity, inclusion. How do we make sure every person who comes to this institution feels a part? How do we make sure that we embrace our differences and use that in a compelling way to talk about how diversity makes us stronger and better and is necessary for a 21st century workforce? How do we make sure that everything that we have as an institution is an asset, not a detriment? And how do we do it in a way that builds an even stronger WK community, WKU family? Research, scholarship, and creative endeavors. How do we make sure our reward structures for faculty empower, incentivize, and reward? How do we have multiple flexible reward schedules? How do we make sure that we're engaging not just the local community, but business and thinking about what are the questions that our manufacturing industry needs to have answered that we can answer for them better, faster, cheaper than consultants in a way that builds experiences for our young people and our students? Budgeting efficiency and infrastructure. How do we make sure our place represent who we aspire to be? And how do we leverage the place and all of the stuff that's under the place, the cords, the electricity, the steam tunnels, the infrastructure for technology, to make learning and research even stronger? How do we make sure that our campus continues to be a symbol of who we are and represents our aspirations? How do we take all the resources that are scattered about and bring them together in interesting ways that saves money, that creates opportunity? How do we create career paths for folks by doing that? And I'm talking about shared service centers. What do those mean in the context of a student-centered applied research university and efficiency and budgeting? What are the other, look, we're not first to do this. What are the other budget models that exist out there? What are the pluses and minuses of them? How do we implement them in such a way that we elevate the whole institution and ourselves, and we reward ourselves, and we take care of our people and our programs? So that's what I do at 2 o'clock in the morning. I hope that's what you're going to do for the next 9 months in your individual groups. So we need to talk. We're going to talk about this. This is not just us in the room. It'll be all of our alumni, our students, our faculty community, our governance structure, our donors, our local community, our legislators, every person who has a stake in this institution. But on that website, we're going to put milestones and news releases, videos of these events, draft reports, opportunities for folks to share feedback, and our implementation updates once we launch the plan. You saw my first and my second strategic planning update. We'll continue to do that. At some point, they're likely to come, not necessarily from me, but from the three of us, from the two of you, to make sure that folks understand that this is really owned by the community. And obviously, my bosses, the Board of Regents, we're going to keep up to date more than monthly. Philip and I have our weekly call, and we're constantly talking about these things. So I would like to show you, and then I will talk about it, what a goal map looks like. And you've got, if you look on the, do we have one that's filled out? As much as I want to wander around, I'm not allowed to. I'm posted behind the lectern. Julia's going to pull up a filled out one of these. You can't copy and paste this. This comes from another place. I just replaced the name at the top with the name of one of our work groups, Academic Innovation Excellence. So you see in the oval, that's the group's goal. So Academic Innovation and Excellence is what I named your working group. But what you come up with as your big, audacious, hairy, compelling, amazing, transformative goal is up to you. And then public affairs will tweak it a little bit when we get to that place. But I want you to do that work and come up with how you describe simply what your goal is for your working group. And you're going to have some time to do that this evening. Folks on the phone will struggle to participate because we don't have breakout rooms for working groups, but we're going to work on that as we go. And then if you look at each of the columns, you'll see those five strategies. And when I said 5 to 7, renew, and I replaced the name so the innocent will remain innocent, or the guilty remain unnamed. WKU's general education curriculum, which we've done much of that work already. So why would we do that? It's up to you all. Integrate and streamlining academic advising, investing in opportunities for first-year intellectual engagement, enhancing experiential learning, promoting deep learning and high-order thinking through course redesign. And then under that, you see the action items. So how do we do that? Share draft educational goals and learning outcomes, develop recommendations for curriculum, establish core curriculum courses. Again, we've done much of that work as an institution with Colonnade. This is a different institution that had not done that, but as a result of this planning process had. You can probably guess where some of this came from if you know my background. Thinking about how it is we integrate and streamline advising by implementing block enrollment freshman year, adopting procedures to aid students in choosing majors, particularly if you're enrolled and do not have a major selected, or a major, for example, only admits you after X number of hours, a la Gordon Ford. What are the clear paths we provide to professional schools? Did not talk about what do career paths and career clusters look like, and how does that connect to the K-12 system in our community? So you see how this works. At the end of the day, a 10-page paper with this appended to it becomes a compelling document for each of the working groups. And then what we're able to do is translate each working group into, in my head, it's a column, who knows what it's designed into, what are the 5 to 7 goals out of each one of these working groups that we're going to work on together in implementation for the next decade. I know it feels a little bit reductionist at this point. It's supposed to. The expansiveness occurs in your conversations. That's where I hope you put together a million ideas, that you brainstorm, that you challenge each other, and that you're as creative as you can possibly be. And with that, do you have any questions? Oh, come on, Jerry. That was good pedagogy. 10 seconds and nobody even... I let him off the hook. There we go.
Can I back out?
Yes. No! 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 I thought you were going to, like, back out into a higher... No, you... Get... No. Is this... Does this make sense?
Conducted to make sure that all stakeholder groups are involved?
Good question. So when we talk about building the plan as it flies, this is one of them. I think in many ways it will be partially up to the working groups, but also partially up to the steering committee. So we haven't decided that yet. I can imagine a combination of video, either live stream or posted, the draft, whatever materials are put up online for feedback. Folks who want to show up in person, these will be led by the co-chairs of each working group and a conversation facilitated. In my mind, whatever the 10 or so draft strategies are that you're using in the draft goal, I see those up on big posters spread around a room larger than this, 5 dots or 3 dots or 6 dots, however many dots handed out, where people pick the ones that resonate the most with them to give you a sense of, are we on the right track or not on the right track? I think asking the question, what did we miss, will be important. And everyone who's interested will have the ability to engage in that. We also will have community surveys as we get closer to the end, where you share out the whole thing, you ask for feedback on all these things, and it allows us to do it. But I think it's... You think about every channel that we can use, and we need to use it. I do not want to do a live chat on Twitter, though. Tuesday. And this is a question that you've asked me before, because this is a challenge. So what I do not want you all to do is to develop paralysis by overanalysis. When I talk about an environmental scan, I want you to look out to see what other places are doing and are there interesting combinations of those things. As we look internally, if there are basic data that we have to drive that, that would be important. But we don't want to make this such, this is not a research project. In many ways, data can get in the way of that big aspirational goal. So unlike the Budget Council, which I gave a very direct charge to, this is really about dreaming and imagining and thinking about what might be within the context of a fiscal reality that we all know is here. But at the same time, I don't want numbers to limit the possibilities, because that's what this is all about. It's about what are the, all of the possibilities for us in the future, and what do we decide on together? So the answer is we'll get as much data to you as quickly as we possibly can. If you will send those to Tuesday, and Tuesday has a staff of folks that are outstanding and remarkable and responsive and overloaded and burdened, but we're going to get this done. Even if we have to give some access to, what's that thing called? Visual analytics. Who has access to visual analytics in this room? Maybe we need to give some more access to visual analytics. It's important for you to be able, on the spur of the moment, I was doing this. Jace Lux and I were driving back from an admission event in Owensboro. I know that because I had mutton sandwiches riding in the back seat, along with one of Jace's staffers who was pulling data from visual analytics for me about enrollment numbers, and we're slicing and dicing in lots of different ways as I was pushing them about stuff. So I want you all to have access to this so that as you have questions, you can say, you know, what has our enrollment been in Owensboro during the past 5 years? I don't know, but we can look that up. And I want you to have access to that. And so I think there's lots of information. And I know there's some folks who are terrified in some ways. But look, this is what, in my mind, what great universities do. They're transparent. The data is out there. There's no surprise in those data. I will ask that that remains part of our internal conversation, obviously, because there's competitive information that one could use that against us in the marketplace. And so we'll figure out I think I had to sign something. It may have been in blood to get access to it, or some fingerprinting. But we'll work on that. But a great question, Eric. Thank you. Yes.
Your goal of having us be WKU representatives instead of representatives of our division or departments is I think it's very valuable and interesting. This is my question. So inevitably, all of us will be approached by people in our department's division wanting to get input. Is your goal for us initially to work in our groups and not seek that kind of input and then later go out? So what's your thought process about that?
So what I don't want you to do is say, well, we've had meetings, but I can't tell you what we're talking about. And part of that is me being clear about that. I think we may have had some of that experience on our budget council. We're saying, well, can we even talk about what we're doing? Is this a top secret mission? This is not a top secret mission. As a matter of fact, I do want you to talk about what you're working on and solicit input from anyone that you think is appropriate. I suggest not sending out blast emails to the entirety of the faculty and staff. I think have we fixed that yet? Sorry. But I do think in having intentional conversations, given the work that you're in, the conversation that each working group is having with your peers, with your colleagues, with people you don't know, which may be more important, and how do you go about that work? Look, every interaction I have, I'm pretty intentional about what I'm trying to do, and that is triangulate people's understanding of this place, where we are and where we're going. And I think that's part of it. Princess?
My question is, so I just want to clear up, there's going to be new data released, but you want us to use the data that there currently exists, because I've looked at that data, and so I know that it's out there as far as like our demographics and everything to do with with WKU. But there is going to be a new year release, I'm assuming.
Oh, you mean in terms of recruitment, admission, enrollment?
Yes, like all the data we've heard.
Yeah, that gets to be I think that becomes official mid-October in the next couple of weeks. Look, I'm happy to share some portion of this. The trends that you know continue. We're still going to remain 20,000 students strong, but within that 20,000, our enrollment has shifted. And over time, that we know there are more students who are enrolling in dual credit courses as high school students in the past 5 years. There may be fewer of other kinds of students who pay more. That has revenue implications. The same thing is true around our international enrollment. There have been terrific headwinds to recruiting internationally, along with some agreements that have changed over time. We can't hide from our makeup, and we're certainly going to have that conversation as a group. The reality is, though, we need to think about the things that reverse. If there is any downward trend, how do you change that? And that's what I'm going to look to you for. The way you change that is by creating excitement, enthusiasm, interest, folks who want to be part of something, and making sure that our scarce resources are aligned, for example, with students, to help ensure we attract more, retain more, graduate more. But there are also decisions to be made around admission and making sure that every person we admit has a reasonable chance of graduating, and being willing to take what is a one-year revenue hit to deal with that. And so there's some portion of that that is an administrative decision that, as much as I'd love to wait for another year, we're not going to. And so how do we make sure that we respond as quickly as we can while at the same time, you know, building that plane while we fly? So that's a really long answer to, we'll share as much as we have, and when there's new information, you'll have access to it. Well, I don't know when that upload occurs, but we're going to have this conversation as a community as well. But a good question. Do you have access to visual analytics? Probably not. Well, I don't know if students can. That's a problem. We have this thing called FERPA and some other stuff. And so but we can help get answers to questions for the working group, who can then make sure that you see those. And so you may not... We may not open the entire black box up and let you climb inside, but we'll certainly open the lid up and help you see it. So. Yes, so as your working group does that work, my hope is that at our November meeting, those of you who are interested will share that, and Tuesday and I will have that conversation around. My goal would be to have that go out in early January as folks are returning from, or after Thanksgiving. You know, and then, yeah, at the medium side. You got to know something and where you're headed. What I don't want to do is put up to the entire community, hey, here's a blank slate. There's a reason I picked each of you in this room. I mean, I've had 150 visits with faculty, staff, and students, if not more, during the past 3 months. I picked people who said something that struck me, who had a perspective, who I trusted, who represented a perspective. And there are a variety of those perspectives in this room. I think, given that there are about 75 or 80 of you, we have a pretty good cross-section of the institution. And you got to remember how else that I asked for this. I sat down with governance and said, who are the people with whom I should visit, including University Senate? And I asked Andy to come up with names for who we should include. And I asked staff counsel to give me the names of folks they thought I should sit down with. This has been an inclusive process from the start and will continue to be. So we've got a good cross-section here. I'm confident that it represents who we are as an institution. At the same time, I understand the need for transparency and giving everybody the opportunity to weigh in. But I also want you to do the hard work, which is come up with the goals and what you think we need to do, And in some ways, there's some accountability for each of you to stand in front of your peers and be able to talk about why these and why not something else. And you're going to have to be prepared to do that in an open forum. And then include whatever great feedback comes out of that forum. I mean, that's why we look, it's the great thing about universities. It's why we have peer review. It's why we share and then revise and share and revise. And it's an iterative process that I think we should be. It creates discomfort, but that discomfort is important. It also creates ownership. Other questions?
Budgeting into that call center for our area. So I don't think anybody on the budget council is in our group, but I'm assuming we don't want to overlap with people doing the same type of work in different circles. So should we be meeting with them? Who do you guys see where they are? Because you're ahead of us on that.
So Gil, who is the region on the budgeting efficiency and infrastructure, actually is also working and having conversations around what budget council. I'm available to you to share that work. Eric is actually on the council as well and can be a resource. This is why having your group, and Susie, you asked me about this before you said yes, which is a smart thing. Why do we exist when you have a budget council that you made very clear you've provided this direction to? And for me, I don't want to be as directive with this group. I want to see what emerges from your conversations. With the budget council, I've been pretty explicit about what their new charge is, and I'm pushing them in a very specific direction. I don't want you to copy and paste what they've done. I don't want them to kind of shuffle it all over to you and say, hey, you might want to look this way. So I'm curious to see what emerges. What I'm hopeful happens is that like this and this, it comes together and we get to good. Or it just all implodes and we start over again. And you know, we actually don't have that option as a community. You all know we have an $11 million carry forward that we're dealing with from last year. As you can imagine, if trends from last year continued, there'll be an additional gap this year. The budget council really has to make some difficult decisions this year about how we move forward, but also some real strategic decisions as they make recommendations to me. Sharing that across silos will be important. One hour in. Okay. What I'd like for you all to do now is within your working groups and steering committee, take a deep breath. Get out the pads and the papers, and the adventure begins now. And so let's take about 30, 45 minutes of working together to game plan, to come up with the beginning of pen to paper and where you're going to go. And then with 10 or so minutes to go, 15 minutes to go, I'll pause and ask if there are any questions. It feels like graduate school, doesn't it? I look at Rob's like, I haven't done... You're making me do this. Yes. And for those of you who are on the phone, I'm sorry we don't have a way to participate, but we're going to send a note back to you with a link to the last 10 minutes of conversation. So we'll figure it out for next time. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bird.
Thank you.
Yes. As we wrap up for this evening, as we finish up and the last group makes its way in, there are a couple of questions. I'll be a good professor and talk quietly. While
this is the 25th.
All right, there were a couple of questions, one of which was pretty tactical, but I'll address them. Maybe it was Aaron who's asking, what's the long bar at the bottom for? Which is a very good question. It's not just inability to use PageMaker or whatever. Now I'm obviously old now. Or whatever this was done in. Those are cross-cutting action items. So if there are things that would affect multiple strategies here. I'm going to list them down here. Or another way to think about it, you remember when I talked about enabling working groups? If there's something that maybe wouldn't technically fall under the purview of the academic group, but you'd want it listed under here because something that somebody else might be responsible for should go there, that's another place for it. So it's both of those things. I prefer to think about cross-cutting goals, but also enabling activities would be good as well. One member of the steering committee wanted me to reiterate that on the guiding questions, the final one is a really tough one to answer. What good things are we doing now that have either outlived their usefulness, are ineffective, or can we no longer afford to do, or are not core to our mission? That's not just for the steering committee to answer. So as I look to each of your working groups, I'm going to expect you and ask you to grapple with that question. Again, it is difficult to do, but we must. We must. We have scarce and finite resources, and we must be intentional and brutally honest about how we're deploying them and how we evaluate how those scarce dollars are being spent. And one of the ways we do that is by asking tough questions of ourselves. And so I'm not going to let anyone off the hook, and we shouldn't let ourselves off the hook. So thank you, dear steering committee member who shall remain nameless. One last thought that I had, and this is interesting because there are two schools of thought on this. As we wrap up, I'm actually going to pass the baton to Bruce and Paula. So you don't want to get too concrete too quickly, right? So you don't want to have 5 or 6 or 8 things that you immediately have centered in on, because that can choke off conversation and creativity and big thoughts, and maybe we don't know enough for that to happen yet. At the same time, for those of you who've been part of these processes, design thinking is a wonderful tool. And so if you can iterate quickly, if you can put lots of things down and prototype them and poke holes in it and then reprototype, that is a way of thinking about ideation and how you come up with ideas and how you come up with strategies. I felt compelled to say both of those things out loud because they're the polar opposites of each other, and I figured that would make it more confusing. It's up to you. Questions, burning concerns. Our next gathering will be November the 9th. And with that, I've prompted, and this is not... Bruce and Paula, please join me up here, or you can have the lectern. It's up to you to wrap. I'm not going to do that because the process is now yours.
Well, I got the package, and Paula's got the bow, so we'll wrap.
You want to talk about constituency?
Yes. One of the things, and a couple of you, I usually have a teacher voice, so that carries pretty well. One of the things I think a couple people had mentioned is coverage of the university and gathering input. So in your groups, if you have thought about, here's a group that we would like to touch base with to gather input from, if you can let us know, Bruce and I, because if three groups want to reach out and touch this one constituent, I mean, that's great. But if we can start getting an idea from you all, hey, we want to make sure that, you know, this group gets covered, touched, talked to. If you can kind of let Bruce and I know, then we can make sure that, you know, there's not overkill on those. Because to me, and we talked about this at the table in terms of what a great opportunity this is, coming from the background that most of us have experienced. And so to be able to take part in this process where we as a university get to have a role and say, it's important that people feel that they can be heard. So ideas about that, I think early on, we want to make sure that, again, we you know, touch base with those groups, and we are happy to help in just a little way help manage that. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's one of the things that we talked about. Yes.
The question that came up in our group was technology, which spans everybody here. So when you were mentioning if you want to reach out to other people for consulting, technology just kind of came to the forefront. For example, a course management system or a budgeting and purchasing tool or something like that.
Can you help me understand your question? So when you say like a course management system in terms of...
integrating technology into all these different groups think and approach things as far as efficiencies and other things. You mentioned if multiple people want to go to others for consulting, and technology came to mind to me, where technology would cross-purpose a lot of these different groups.
Oh, okay.
So
you may want to be asking them something different. It may be the same group. Let's see, it's IT, but we want to ask them something different. Okay. Are we still allowed, or is that okay?
Well, you said if multiple groups want to consult the same group,
yeah,
and that's the first thing that kind of came to mind.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's perfectly understandable of what you want to talk to them about differs from what possibly another group wants to talk to them about.
Might depend on how you want to do it. Like someone brought up a Qualtrics survey earlier, and I think Kelly did, but if we want to do that, for instance, with some group, and it's a group that a lot of you want to touch, you might each want to put in, and we can do one survey of 15 or 20 questions rather than five or six different surveys of 15 questions, and then this group, by the time they get the fourth survey, is kind of going, we're not even answering this anymore, just going right to our trash dump, you know. So that's what we kind of mean, is if there's common groups that you all or some of you want to touch, that we can coordinate how we reach out to them. Is it a forum? Is it an online fill-in-the-blank form? Is it a Qualtrics survey? And then make sure that we're getting the questions together in one unit that we can send out to them. So it's a coordination process.
I mean, do you have a preference about
along those lines for coordination of communication. When we get all of our ideas together and have our forum in January or February, we want to make sure that we don't leave the whole faculty in forum fatigue and have 7 forums, you know, within 2 weeks. We probably won't have much, you know, turnout if we do that. We have to spread them out and be kind of thoughtful about how we communicate that to the whole faculty.
Well, I'll just mention a few logistics from the steering committee, and if you hate them, then we'll revise. So one of the things that Paul and I would like from the co-chairs of each committee is a list of your meeting dates and locations for between now and the November 9th meeting. So if you could get that to us as soon as you have it. What we want to be able to do is, Paul and I would like to talk to each co-chair probably on about a weekly basis. We don't each need to talk to each co-chair, and we don't need to talk to the same co-chair each week. But we want to make sure on a weekly basis that we've touched base with each co-chair. So the other thing is that we want to make sure that, when possible, someone from the steering committee is available at one of your meetings each time you meet. So that could either be by phone, or ideally someone would show up just to be there, not really to be a involved participant, but just to kind of touch base and be able to bring back. It may not always happen, but if we have the meetings, then we can let you know that Andy's going to show up, or you know someone's going to show up to this one if you're okay with that.
It's just to get a sense of what's going on, you know, instead of waiting until
right.
You know, and if there's questions that we can answer, we're happy to do that. So it's just a touching base and just a listening.
We'd also like to ask, for record keeping purposes, if you're okay with it, is that committees keep action minutes? So that we know, we don't need to know who said what, just the action minutes of what went on in your meeting. I think based on the president's talk tonight, what we envision the November meeting be is the idea meeting, the real big idea. Don't winnow too much for November. What we'd really like to see is kind of the overlap between committees. What are the commonalities in the big ideas? Although it's fine if you've already gone past that for the design thinking phase within your committee, that's absolutely fine. But one of the things we'd like to see at that meeting is sort of your thought process, where you went, and maybe where you didn't go, but some other committee went, so that we still have that. Because sometimes you come back to an idea 2 months later that you threw out. And so we want to make sure we have a record of those ideas. And then by December, we would expect a little bit, quite a bit more winnowing and focus and that kind of stuff. But don't get too much like we can't afford that, or I don't think we can do that, or students would never do that here, or faculty won't agree to that. Don't even think like that initially. That's not where we're at for November. Keep it really positive.
Bruce, could you say what you mean?
No, I'm just saying, I'm not necessarily saying all your ideas have to be big, but don't throw out ideas that you think are impractical or don't fit this institution based on your own personal history right at the start. You know, because if you don't ever let those things at least have the chance to breathe, then you're just going to suffocate them right from the beginning. And I think that's true about everybody on your committee. Everybody's got an equal voice. It doesn't matter where they come from or what their background is. Their ideas are valid at the start, and I think you want to start with that sort of shared governance kind of idea within your committee, and then start to filter, you know. But we would like to have that record of the initial. And so, Kelly, I mean, whether you're talking about your major goals or your implementation pathways or whatever it is, keep it open at the start and make a record of that openness from your meetings, and then, you know, I don't care. We don't care if by November you've filtered already, but we'd like to have that record through your minutes of where you came from. We'd like to see the path. Does that make sense? Maybe not.
I mean, I guess I'm just We have a goal of creating a goal. We have a goal of creating some strategies. We have a goal of creating an action plan, right? And that we can brainstorm for a long time, but if we don't know what we're brainstorming about, we won't arrive there. So, I guess I'm just a little fluffy. Okay, the first thing was a goal of what we're trying to achieve, and then what some strategies and then some actions. Am I being too narrow in my thinking?
You're being pretty Ogden-ish there, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
I've lived for some portion of this, and so it is a great question because you know that what lives in that oval, that's a really important thing to come down to, because that's the goal. But you don't want to choke that off. But you don't want to have 10 huge goals. So how many of them are, you know, it's a different flavors of the same general kind of goal. But I think where you do all that creation is really around all the strategies. So, you know, I gave you all the very simple name of scholarship, creative endeavor, and inquiry or something. It's up to you all to figure out what the goal is that goes with that. I think the path of the place where you just do lots and lots and lots of thinking is all those individual strategies. But figuring out the goal is tough too.
You got more? No, I think that's. Any other questions for us?